I'd like you to turn this morning in your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter number 96. I'm going to read a verse there in a moment. But before I read that verse, I'm going to read another verse here in a moment. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 15. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity we have where we can come and worship. We can come into your presence, Lord, and acknowledge your greatness. And Father, this morning, appreciative of all the things you've done for us, all the blessings you brought into our lives. And Father, this morning, as we attempt to look into your word, we pray that you'll give thy servant the help that he desperately needs and desires. And Father, today, when we all leave here, we'll have a more clear view of you, and Father, we love you more. We thank you now that we have this privilege and opportunity because you did send us the Lamb that died for us. We thank you today for Jesus and his blood and his love. And we ask you this morning now to forgive us of our shortcomings and our sins. Let us now exalt and lift up him, for it's in his holy, glorious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Exodus 15 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Then in the book of Psalms, chapter 96 and verse number 9, the scripture declare, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." You'll find that once again in Psalms chapter 29 and verse 2. It tells us in that chapter and in that verse also to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I'm afraid today that our society and our world in which you and I live today many times holds an inverted view of God. We are seemingly surprised and stunned by God's justice and judgment. And when God's justice and God's judgment falls upon us today, we're shocked and surprised and stunned. Yet we seem to never be wowed or surprised by his mercy and his grace and his love. We live in a time when people want to worship God, but they want to worship God in their own time and in their own way. One of my favorite country artist today is Tom T. Hall, and he wrote a song many years ago I'm afraid is the theme song of many people of our generation. "Me and Jesus got our own thing going." And you hear that song and it seems that, boy, that's the great thing, that me and Jesus got our own thing going. But when you begin to listen to the lyrics and you begin to listen to the words today, it's exactly what I'm trying to convey to you this morning. It's not that today we worship God today in our own way, in our own time. But we must come before the presence of the Lord today in his way. John MacArthur has said that worship is a very serious matter. How? And emphasize that little word, how. H-O-W. How you come before a holy God is the most important thing you will ever do. Now you think about that for just a moment. How you come before a holy God is the most important thing you will ever do. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul, as he writes the New Testament, and sometimes people think that, well, that's just Old Testament. But now listen carefully this morning to what Paul writes to the church at Colossae in chapter number 2, as he's talking to them about worshiping the Lord. He said in verse number 22, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship. Will worship today. When you look up that particular word in the Greek lexicon, will worship is one word, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it this morning. But it very basically means simply this. Worship, someone devises for himself contrary to the contents of Scripture. Worship, someone devises for himself contrary to the contents of Scripture. There are many illustrations of will worship that we could look out throughout the Scripture today. Over in the book of Leviticus, there were two sons of Aaron this morning who had ascended to the priesthood and were to offer unto God the incense and the offerings of sacrifice. There came a day when they went to offer the incense. And the Bible says when they put the incense and offered the incense, that a flame of fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and their charred and scorched bodies were left laying upon the ground. They had faced and had met the wrath and the indignation and the justice and the judgment of the Almighty. Why? Because the Bible says God said they offered strange fire. They had taken the incense and for some reason or the other had altered what God had said to bring before Him. Worshiping God and appearing before Him is a very serious matter. It's not a matter today that we decide how that we worship God. That has already been decided this morning. God this day has said that when you come before me, you have to come in my way. We could look this morning over in the book of Judges, and we could find there a man by the name of Micah, who formed his own God, who today had a man-made religion and hired his own priest. And he was going to worship God in his way. You can look at many of the kings of Israel today and Judah, and you will find that when the kingdom split after the death of Solomon, and he went into the southern and northern kingdoms, and the northern kingdom became Israel, and they established their own place of worship and their own calves to worship. And it wasn't long till they were overrun by the Assyrians this morning. But I think maybe the greatest illustration of what I'm trying to convey to you today is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. You find there that, and I'm sure you've heard the scripture before, but I want you to listen to it real carefully this morning, because as you begin to read through it very carefully, you'll find that maybe it's a little bit different than what sometimes we envision it today. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You read over in the scripture today that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received the tablets of stone, as he came back down and as he was there upon the mount and God began to speak, Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Here we find that in the temple that Isaiah is terrorized at seeing God. He said, Woe is me. I am undone. I wonder today if we could really see God as he is. If we this morning would allow ourselves to come before a holy God, and God would reveal himself to us today as he does through the scripture, and we must see him through the scripture today. And we might also say with Isaiah, Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the land in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Get this picture today. You see, the first verse really sets the scene for what Isaiah is saying here. In the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah died. Now, when you study the history of Judah and you read through the Old Testament history of the kings that God had raised up, you find that Uzziah was a noble and a good king. He brought about a great many reforms and in the nation of Judah today. He had the second longest reign of any king at 52 years. He was a godly man. A man that had a heart for God. During his reign, you will find that not since Solomon had Israel prospered as much as it prospered during the time that King Uzziah reigned upon the throne. It enlarged its coast, and he was a great administrator, and the people were prospering and living well. He was a great military leader because the Bible tells us he won victory after victory, and he was victorious in the battles today of leading God's people against their enemies. Maybe one of the most important things we could ever learn today is listed in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 26 and verse number 6, I believe it is. I mean verses 4 and 5. Listen very carefully to 2 Chronicles 26 verses 4 and 5 this morning. And here it's talking about Uzziah. And it said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We find this morning that Uzziah was a godly king. A man today that the Bible says here that he sought the Lord. That this morning that he did that which was right in the eyes of God. Well, I wish we could say that about our leaders today, don't you? Don't you wish this morning you could say that the leaders of the United States of America, our congressmen, our representatives, our senators, our judges, our president, our cabinet this morning are doing that which is right in the sight of God. And they sought the Lord with all of their heart. And when they did that, they prospered and the nation prospered. You look back over the history of our country today and you will find that that'll be an absolute truth. We can't say that this morning, but here we find a man that was leading the nation of Judah, God's chosen people, and he was doing that which was right in the sight of God. And as long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. And as he prospered, so did the nation this morning. You'll find that Isaiah was born and raised during the reign of Uzziah. And I believe as we read here, as he opens this and as God inspires him to write this book, and he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, that Isaiah, the prophet of God, was in the temple of God. And there he was contemplating and meditating and thinking, and he was thinking about King Uzziah and his death this morning. You see, Uzziah had done much good. He'd done some great deeds, but he had one blot up on his record. Just one blot that we can find. Now, there may have been more, but the scriptures record one. And that's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord, his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appointeth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. That means he got mad. He was angry. He was furious. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in the forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being leprous, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jonathan his son was set over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Had one blot, very simply today. Now you read about the kings before him, and some of them had committed some very serious, what we would call very serious sins today. Who can excuse David, the great king, the man after God's own heart today, who committed adultery and murder? We find that there were others who led the people into idolatry and even to the sacrificing of their children into the fires of Molech this morning. There were kings that promoted and lifted up sexual perversion today. Uzziah simply wanted to worship God. He just simply came into the house of God to worship God. Now, what great sin could he commit doing that? Why this morning was God's judgment so strong and so sudden and so severe upon this man who simply came into God's house wanting to worship? I mean, he became a leper. That dreaded disease that not only eats away at your flesh and consumes your bones and this morning causes death, but it quarantines you and separates you from all other people today because it's so contagious. And God's judgment came upon Uzziah strongly and swiftly and severely. Here was a man that became a leper until the day that he died, cut off from his people, cut off from the house of God. Why did God this morning do this to this man? Why didn't he strike David with leprosy? Why didn't he strike Manasseh with leprosy? Why didn't he strike Jeroboam and some of the other kings we could read about this morning with leprosy? Some of the great sins that we would consider so horrible and so vile today. And yet here, seemingly a very inconsequential thing today. He got mad at the priest because they wouldn't let him offer incense to God, and God struck him with leprosy. Why? Well, understand this morning. He forgot the holiness of God. He decided that he would come into God's presence in his own way. He didn't need the priest to offer incense anymore. He was the king. He was Uzziah. He was the great deed doer. He was a great victor. He was the great warrior. He was the man that everybody looked up to. The Bible said when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Well, I'm Uzziah. I'm the king. I'm the man this morning. So here he comes into God's house and says, I'm going to do it my way. You see, he came in his own righteousness. That's kind of the way that, and I think maybe that's the reason that the Lord inspired Isaiah in the 64th book, chapter of Isaiah, in about the 6th verse, to declare that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in his presence, in his sight. You see, Uzziah said, I'm coming my way. I want to worship God my way. I don't care if the priests are supposed to do this. I'm Uzziah. I'm as righteous as they are. I'm as righteous as God. You see, the Bible said his heart was lifted up. Listen to me very carefully. The opposite of the fear of the Lord. We hear a great deal about the fear of the Lord, and we're going to look at that maybe just in a moment. Listen to me. The opposite of the fear of the Lord. Moses said, I was afraid and trembling. Isaiah was terrified when he saw the Lord. The opposite of that is pride. Well, that's just God. It's just the Lord. You know. Why should I be afraid of him? Why should I be fearful of him? Look at me. I'm me. Look who I am. You know? I heard a black preacher say several years ago, he was talking about this. I was driving up the wall road, and he said, I'll tell you what's the matter with a lot of the folks in our churches. He said, they peacock proud. Peacock proud. We come before God like we want to come before him. We come prideful. Look at me. God ought to be thrilled that I'm here. God ought to be thrilled that I'm here today. Boy, I'm honoring God with my presence. That was Uzziah's sin. God's fixing to show Isaiah something. You see, sin becomes relative to us. We want to characterize sin, and we want to put this sin above this sin, and we want to sit around and say, well, you know, this sin is not as bad as that sin. And my sin is not as bad as somebody else's sin. And it just becomes kindly relative to us today. I might tell a little lie every once in a while, but I don't really do anything bad. Sin becomes relative. But you see, with sin, when you look in the scripture today, sometimes those things that we think today you are? Not very much. Why would God send power down and strike out an enemy in Nauvoo? Why this morning would God today use eye leprosy? What seemingly was something small. And you see, we begin to make sin kind of relative today. I might have done a little this and I might have done that, but I'm not really that bad this morning. And you see, Isaiah's fixing to learn something here because God is saying that sin today is not relative today. Because you see, when sin becomes relative, then we become that it becomes justifiable. The ends justify the means. That's the Robin Hood mentality. It's okay to rob from the rich as long as you're giving to the poor. It's okay as long as everything works out for the best. That's the Robin Hood mentality. I had to steal because of this. No, you didn't have to steal. See, that's what God enlightened Isaiah about. And he said, and this is for us too. You see, he said to Isaiah, look at my holiness. You don't know why King Uzziah had leprosy. You don't know why King Uzziah died a leper, Isaiah. Listen to me carefully, Isaiah. And he revealed unto Isaiah. Isaiah said, I saw him high and lifted up. And he saw these creatures flying around crying, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then Isaiah had to say, woe is me. You see, God enlightens Isaiah this morning, and he cries out, and he sees the holiness of God. And he realizes that the only hope he has and anyone has today is the grace and the mercy of God. You see, you can never work, you can never give, and you can never serve enough. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. The only way you'll ever see God today is through holiness. And you can never serve, work, or give enough to get that. The only way you'll ever get it is when you, this morning, find that there's the grace and the mercy and the love of God. When you see yourself as Isaiah saw himself, you see God, the holy judge of this universe. The one today who is so holy that he can't be touched by sin. And you see yourself for what you are. Filthy, dirty, evil, wicked sinner. About to slide into hell. Knowing that God is now justified in allowing you to go to that terrible place. You know what you do? You cry out to God, and in his mercy and his grace, he redeems you and gives you the holiness of God through Jesus Christ. And this morning, we should never be stunned and surprised and shocked by God's justice and his judgment. Praise God today. I'm shocked and surprised that he had the grace and the mercy to send his son to die for my sin. Amen. And justify me, a sinner condemned unclean. Right. Listen to me very carefully today. We don't come before God and honor him with our presence today. We come before God today in the beauty of holiness today. We honor him. We don't come our way. We come God's way. I want to tell you, probably should frighten us to really be in the presence of God. It ought to awe us today that God would even allow us to come into His presence. Now, sometime get to seeing things and it, I guess maybe I look at things a little differently at times, but I got the Baptist Record this week and a big picture on the front of a guy with a sunshade hanging out playing a guitar with his hair every which direction and leading the worship for teenagers. And I thought, my God, what are we teaching our kids today? You don't approach God that way. You don't approach God that way. I want to tell you, you better come before God this morning with humility. Not that I'm great, but I'm going to come your way, Lord. I'm coming into your presence, the Holy God of glory. I want to tell you this morning, folks, I'm amazed at His grace, not at His justice. He could have sent me to hell and been justified, but praise God, He didn't. His amazing grace reached down to me. And I'm going to be like John Newton this morning. All I can say this morning, I believe Isaiah was saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. And how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. Has been grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Amen. When I've been there 10 million years, bright shining as the sun, I'll have no less time to sing God's praise than when I first begun. Why? Because of the amazing grace of God today. Yeah. Amen. All right, if you'll stand with me, Bruce, if you, Margaret, would come. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we've been together. I ask You to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. I ask You this morning, Lord, that as we depart from this place of worship, that we'll go out loving You more and being more amazed at Your grace and Your mercy. And for all that You've done for us, Lord, we thank You today in Jesus' name. Amen.